Cody and Gold back here live out at Community America Credit Union's Red Friday tailgate. It is underway, going on till 1 o'clock today. Free lunch to the first 100 people that come on out. They have Chiefs cheerleaders, Casey Wolf. We're giving away some Chiefs tickets to Monday Night Football. We got a long line already. People ready to go, hanging out over at the Big ATM, trying to have an opportunity to win some Chiefs tickets, plus some Chiefs swag.
Plus, Mahomes' brother is here. He just walked past.
Saw Jackson walk by a second ago.
So, good crowd, good crew already. And they said, yeah, they're going to start taking orders for the food for everybody here soon, too. So, I can't wait. Look, if this is an easy one. It's Red Friday and Red Monday, or Red Friday and Blue Friday. So, you can come out, get free lunch, get a chance to get those tickets for Monday night. And nobody's going to care if you're wearing red or blue on a day like today. When the Royals are one game away from the ALDS.
Yeah, but let's talk a little Chiefs then before we get back to the Royals. We go out to the hotline and welcome in our Chiefs contributor from ChiefsOnSI.com. He's the editor over there with great Chiefs coverage throughout the week. He's Joshua Briscoe. Josh, great to have you on the show again, man. You were in KC in 14 and 15 as well. You're from here, so I'll start with the Royals for a second, though, just to get your perspective on how you're balancing everything and enjoying the ride.
It's been a weird year for me to follow along baseball as casually as I have, because this has kind of been the first baseball season in pretty close to that 14 and 15 runs, when I've just kind of been able to sit back and enjoy it and maybe be a little irrational if I want to be, because nobody's coming to me for baseball talk, guys. I have to be objective and reasonable talking about the Chiefs, but I can say horrible things about Aaron Judge for the sake of Bobby Witt's MVP campaign, and nobody's going to care. So, I was in college in Olathe at Mid-America during the World Series runs. I have many, many fond memories of the chaos that brought to the city, and since then we've even gotten better at having a championship parades, which is something I don't think I ever really thought I'd be able to say about this city back then.
Yeah, I remember that parade day too, because it was much like today's weather.
It was the nicest weather of all time.
Yeah, it was perfect.
I was not at the parade. This is my great shame in my own personal Kansas City sports history.
Tisk.
Mid-America Nazarene would not cancel classes on parade day.
Oh, man, we just went through this, Briscoe. I have class on Monday. I'm supposed to teach, but technically I could just end it early, and everyone would still have plenty of time to watch the Royals and Chiefs. I'm leaning towards half class, you know?
I think that's great. I think that's exactly what you should do, because that's responsible enough to say, hey, education matters. What I have to show you here today matters.
But only a little.
But I want you all to show up, and half of those people aren't showing up if you say we're going to be here until the very end of this period.
Yeah.
You have the authority. You have the chance to be a hero in your students' lives, something that was not done for me back in those days in Olathe, Kansas.
Oh, a shame.
All right, let's talk about this offense, though, for the Chiefs, Josh, with where things currently are situated, as Casey Wolf comes by us and says hello. What's going on? When you look out...
Wiggles hello.
Yes, he kind of wiggled. That's right. He didn't speak. He just wiggled.
All in the hips is how he said hello.
That's true. Are we just back to this offense being 2023 offense again, or do you think with Kareem Hunt's addition that there's a chance they can still be better than that?
It's like 2023 meets 2018, but not in the ways you'd expect. What a bizarre evolution, because it's a great question that I think has a lot of similarities to years past, but I don't know where it's going to end. I think the process will look similar. Last year, you had a receiving room that, frankly, like not even an exaggeration, comparing last year's beginning of year receiver room to where this receiver room is right now, you would take last year's group not knowing what would come next for Rashee Rice, not knowing what will come next for Xavier Worthy. It is a more thinned out group now, especially because we didn't know that MVS was going to have such a regression last year. Like, that, obviously his season became a nightmare on a variety of levels. That wasn't normal for him, even though he, you know, had plenty of drops and deep ball tracking issues at times. So I think we're going to see some similar growing pains. I think that we have to see them start to force-feed Xavier Worthy a little bit. I don't know if it'll be on Monday or if they'll take the bye week to kind of recalibrate some of that. But he needs to be on a plan that is as, if not more, accelerated than Rice's was last year, because there just aren't a whole lot of other options. I'm relatively optimistic about Juju Smith-Schuster being able to do some of the things that he was able to do here in 2022. Yep. But Rashee Rice... upgraded that position. That's they didn't just not bring back Juju. They also sought an upgrade there. And so even though Juju might get in the right spots again, and again, I think that's valuable. He could be a chain mover for this team. The yards after the catch ability that Rashee Rice brings is what makes him so special, and that's what Juju doesn't have at this point in his career. So I do think it's going to feel like a bit of a regression for a while.
I guess then the question is, do you think the defense can actually did what it did last year? And if there's only one position right now that I would say I would be worried can't necessarily repeat that, I don't know if I'm alone here. They're 4-0, and so people are worried about wide receivers, so I don't think they're paying attention to every other little thing. Mm-hmm. Right now, I feel like the pass rush is Chris Jones do superhuman stuff, and everyone else is just standing around. Like, I don't feel like they're getting the contribution from anyone on the defensive line they need to outside of Chris Jones.
No, you're right. And when Andy Reid talked yesterday, he made it sound like it was going to be probably a little while before Charles Omenihu begins his ramp up for his return. I think that is a huge part of what this team is going to get in the second half, late in the regular season, in time for the playoffs, depending on where his timeline is. I think Omenihu is an answer for that, but you don't know when it's going to arrive. I'm with you. I have seen enough from Jalen Watson to be confident that he's going to be at least a good number two corner. Even as Drew Tranquil has had a rough start, and Nick Bolton's had some up and downs, and Leo Chanel's kind of a part-time player, there's a lot of talent there. The pass rush, and specifically the edge rushers, are the group that have not yet achieved to, I think, what their expectations were. Mike Dana has, I don't want to say he's taken a step back, and obviously he didn't play last week. We'll see where he ends up on Monday. George Karlaftis also has not evolved beyond where he was last year. Those guys can both clean up the Chris Jones-caused messes, and Tershawn Wharton has taken advantage of some of his one-on-ones that he gets by playing next to Chris Jones. That's real development. That's a good thing to see from Wharton. But ultimately, it is Chris Jones, demand all of the attention and win your rep, and then maybe we have a chance to have somebody else also take a one-on-one that they can win. But I thought they would invest in a defensive end in this year's draft. Somewhere in day two, maybe, even like that was higher on my list. They obviously never did. You wanted to see something from FAU. He had a fine game against backup tackles in Los Angeles. If he could show a little bit of juice, that'd be huge. I'm not betting on it at this point. That is the group that definitely has something else to show, because if they added a top 15, top 20 sort of edge rusher, not an elite guy, but an above average number one type, which I think Omenihu has been at times, I think the defense looks totally different and even better. I just don't think that guy's coming.
We're talking to Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor for ChiefsOnSI.com. What do you make of the Saints? You know, they started the first 2 weeks averaging like 45 points per game. Yeah. They've come back down to earth, but they still, I believe, have the number one offense in football by a point and a half or something like that. Taysom Hill's banged up. Yep. This Chiefs defense I'm not worried about, but do you think this offense can actually put up some points at all against the Saints defense? Are we in for another low-scoring, you know, 17-14 type of game?
I'm kind of assuming it at this point, and I'll take the other side real quick, just since you mentioned, you know, the fluctuation of the Saints offense. It's a little bit of the schemed-up stuff that Kubiak was able to pull out in those first couple of weeks. It was also playing the Panthers in a Cowboys team that ended up being hard to nail down. I think they are a real and above-average football team, which means that they could beat anybody at any time, or they could totally flounder and be one of the surprising losses of the week. That's also probably just a Derek Carr experience in a lot of ways. For the Chiefs' offense against the Saints' defense, I am expecting, until further notice, until proven otherwise, I'm expecting that it's going to be kind of a gross, grind-it-out offensive performance, and then maybe we see a little bit of a renaissance after the bye week if they do have the time to retool what this offense was supposed to look like. But it's such a skeleton crew compared to what they were planning for throughout most of training camp. Even late in training camp, they thought Hollywood would be back by now if the sternoclavicular injury would have healed without surgery. So I do think it's going to be a little bit of pulling teeth here. I think the most important thing is, what does Mahomes look like, and how does he treat the pressure that is real or imagined? How does the supporting cast step up? Last week, the interior offensive line was not great for a unit that we're used to being great. And I think Mahomes has been a little bit more affected by pressure at times than he has been at his best over the last few years. So I want to see a calm, in control Mahomes, but but I'd also like to see a little bit of a better push from the interior, especially. Our expectations have been adjusted for the tackles, but the offense is built for that, for the interior three to be elite, for this offense to achieve at maximum capacity, and Mahomes has learned to lean on that. So that relationship there is sort of the underrated storyline of the week for me. Mahomes and the three guys directly in front of him.
Should we fear the Tyrann Mathieu revenge game?
I think
he's
obviously
he's been really good since he went to the Saints. A lot of people wrote him off. He's been a really nice player the entire time he left here.
Yeah, and I think it's in a lot of ways that shouldn't be surprising, but it's kind of funny. I mean, when you look at the way the Chiefs, this isn't the question you asked, I know, but when you look at how the Chiefs treated the end of that era, and now you're looking at Justin Reed having some moments this year where he has not been
where you're
as
like,
consistent.
You know, we're fine.
we keep reinvesting in these, early day two safety picks. We've got a plan there. That, I think, is going to repeat itself, and so I understand why the Chiefs didn't want to continue the Tyrann Mathieu experience, not knowing when he would kind of fall off physically. But he has been great. I think that a Patrick Mahomes overthrow of some sort being picked off by a well-placed Tyrann Mathieu should probably be on your bingo card. I'm not predicting it. I'm saying it should be on the bingo card so you feel like you get something if he does get Mahomes once. I don't think he's going to terrorize Patrick Mahomes or anything like that, but I do think that he would absolutely delight in pulling off a big turnover back at Arrowhead again.
I have to ask you about a national report from everyone's favorite Mike Florio that's out today.
Great.
Talking about Rashee Rice and his injury. We all know it is kind of bizarre. There's a lot of uncertainty, at least publicly, around his long-term status, what the actual injury is. We know they put him on IR. Florio put out a piece today suggesting that the Chiefs are intentionally not disclosing what the injury is, so that way there is still an open-ended return. That way they can push for a suspension versus the other.
So they can quickly solve his legal matters.
Yes.
You know, and then get him suspended.
What do you make of that? Well, by the way, I actually hope that is the case, but what do you make of the conspiracy?
So I wasn't sure what the report was going to be because I've been looking at other reports from, I'll say,
from
good
legitimate
reporters.
Sources.
Yeah, I've been trying to track down some good information today to try to piece together some of the Rashee Rice's latest over on ChiefsOnSI.com, as you so kindly mentioned at the beginning of the segment. Yeah, I think Cody just sort of cracked open what I would like to lean towards, which is to say the NFL at this point has insisted that they're going to wait for the legal system to play out before making their decision. Guys, do you know when Rashee Rice will end up in court on any level for the 8 felony counts he's reportedly facing? Do you know when that's going to happen?
We do not.
Next summer?
You don't know. I don't know. I don't think Rashee Rice knows, and I know Mike Florio doesn't know. There are civil suits that are out there, but we, as far as I can tell, and this is with the assist of famed lawyer Seth Kaiser, who did the podcast with KCSN, he can't even confidently, he's a lawyer in a different state, but he's a lawyer. He cannot confidently state that those charges have actually been pressed to Rashee Rice. Those were at the time it was facing eight felony counts. We don't even know if that's like official at this point. So the idea of the suspension thing, it would be great for everybody here if the NFL wanted to go ahead and get that extrajudicial arm going and say, boom, 8 games, you're clear of the suspension, but you will not see the field the next 8 games. I would be tickled for that. The Chiefs would be tickled for that. There's no way the Chiefs and the NFL are playing that game. The Chiefs have bigger goals this year than trying to circumvent the most ideal sweet spot for a suspension. And Mike Florio should have better things to do than breaking out the red twine for this one. That's honestly crazy.
He's like Charlie Day in that episode of Sunny Man. I mean, he is really grinding through conspiracies at that point.
And he's grinding through page views, I guess, and I congratulate him on the retirement he'll be able to take, probably before Andy Reid takes his.
That's right. 30 seconds, let me ask you, wide receiver targets trade market-wise. I think we're weeks away from something possibly happening, but give me a realistic name that you're going to be watching.
I think the two realistic ones are Amari Cooper and Deontay Johnson. I think they could go Amari Cooper for the one-year, half-year rental, depending on where the Browns put that price. He's super tradable right now. They've apparently been interested in Deontay Johnson before. I think if they wanted to go for an immediate extension with Johnson, they could give up a little more and then have him around for the next few years.
Joshua Briscoe, Chiefs contributor here at 96.5 The Fan. They do great work over at ChiefsOnSI.com. We'll check in with you next week, man.
I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we'll have some real news to talk about.
That's right. That's exactly right. Josh Briscoe, he joins us every Friday at 11 o'clock, and he joins all our shows throughout the week as our Chiefs contributor here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you're home for the Chiefs, and we're hanging out at a Red Friday tailgate all day long today. We're here till 2 o'clock. The Red Friday tailgate is well underway. It goes till 1 o'clock, though, at the Olathe branch of Community America Credit Union. That's 1359 O South Black Bob Road, 135th and Black Bob. Pretty simple. You'll see us. We got a great crowd out here. Casey Wolf, the Chiefs cheerleaders, some free lunch for the first 100 people until 1 o'clock today. Also, an opportunity to win tickets. I don't believe the first pair. I don't think so. I don't think even the first pair has been given away. Community America's got their big ATM set up, and that is where you want to go if you want to win some Chiefs swag and maybe come home with a pair of tickets to watch the Chiefs at Arrowhead on Monday night.
All right, I want a thought. 913-586-7965. Okay. I just want a gut check. If you'll call us, 913-586-7965. Confidence check time. How are you feeling before Saturday's game one against the ALDS? I gave you the walk-in numbers. Those weren't good. Yeah. But we've got some numbers that'll make you feel better, too, so we can give you those because the Yankees lineup has not been good against Waka, Lugo, and Reagan's in his career. So I want a confidence check for you. 913-586-7965. At the moment, I'm still feeling pretty good. I know that the Yankees have been the best team in the American League for a good majority of this time. But I've told you all season, and I stand by this, no team has separated themselves significantly from the rest of the pack. And if that's going to be where they are, well, then I'm not going to get overly concerned that they can't beat the Yankees in this. I think it's what you said. It's about getting one of the first two more than anything else.
Yeah, so the numbers and everything, there's the balance of acknowledging them, and then also is it just playoff time and you're saying completely throw all the numbers out at the window. You know, Aaron Judge versus Lugo, Reagans, and Waka, 1 for 28. Jazz Chisholm, 1 for 18. Stanton, 7 for 34 with two homers. Volpe, 0 for 11. Now, Soto is 8 for 26.
So he's been
with
good.
Two homers. And then Gleyber Torres, 4 for 29. So
that's a lot of people hitting 0-50 against the right. Royals' big three that will likely pitch 1, 2, and 3 in this series.
Right, but I actually feel good because still the pitching situation. I've acknowledged my biggest concern, which is I don't believe they can get a series win with only scoring in every two-game chunk of a five-game series, three runs. I just don't believe that is.
But Vinny, don't you feel like the offense is going to find that eventually? They were a good offense. They weren't a great offense. They were a good offense. The
reason why I'm confident is just because they're going to be in every single game because of the pitching, whether it's Waka, whether it's the bullpen handling their business. That's why I'm confident. If I can tell you going into a best-of-five ALDS, which we are, that they're in every game because of pitching, that's what pitching allows you to do, well, then you should feel good. I don't take everything out.
Yeah, just not getting blown out.
Just feeling good about it? Absolutely.
Do you think there'll be a blowout in this series?
No. I don't.
Because that's something I don't think is going to happen either, and that's why I think this is why I favor the Royals in this, too. I'm with you, Gold. I don't think there's going to be some 7-2 game on either side, honestly.
913-586-7965. Let's go out to Jack in KC. He's listening to 96.5 The Fan. He wants to talk about the Royals. You're on with Cody and Gold.
Hey, what's up, guys? I am calling with a very simple message. Let's go, Kansas City. Chiefs a smack on New Orleans. And the Royals are about a 3-and-out in New York, so
call for
how
the
can
sweep.
You not just be partying all day about this?
Love
it's
it.
It's Friday, like, come on.
You going? How? Now, let me ask you, how are you watching the games on Monday night? Are you going to
Monday
to
night?
Arrowhead?
I'm going to Arrowhead.
Yeah, all right, so how are you watching holders, the Royals? So. Are you gonna be on the phone? How are you doing this?
On the phone with the app, with the Odyssey app, listening to you guys.
I like it.
Yeah,
hey,
there we
that's
go.
That's a great answer, Jack.
Wow, do you work for us, Jack? What a company
might
answer.
Might as well, right?
Appreciate the call, man. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy this ride. Everybody in Kansas City should be enjoying it.
That's a great strategy. If you're going to the game on Monday night, why not just get the old earbuds out and listen to the Royals on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. Chiefs will be on 96.5 The Fan starting at 4 o'clock on Monday. The Royals will be on The Fan AM 610. Starting at 5:30, I believe, 5:30 on Monday will be the Vern's on Deck show start time. So if you're looking for either of those, we'll have you covered because we're the home for the Royals and the Chiefs. You're home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, let's go back out. I believe you said Tyler. Is that right, Drew, in my ear? I think I heard
yes.
that right. Tyler. All right, Tyler, you were in Independence, and you were on Cody and Gold.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Love the show.
Appreciate it.
I just wanted to say how pumped I am for this bullpen, man. They've been nails in September, but – the attitude and mentality of postseason baseball, they have just stepped up every single time. I've said this about Schreiber all year to my friends. They think I'm crazy. But I said, when we get to the playoffs, he's going to be a dog. He's got that attitude. I've seen it since June, and I'm just pumped, man. His bullpen looks nailed. Starters look great. Vinny's rejuvenated the attitude. Why not us?
I hear you. I hear you, Tyler. Appreciate the call. Honestly, why not? Playoff baseball, this happens all the time. Wild card team goes on a run. We saw it here firsthand. We saw it last year with the Diamondbacks. It's true. Why not the Royals, man? If you have the rotation of the bullpen that this team has, and you have an offense that has now their nearly 100 RBI hitter back in it, even if it's going to take some time to fully get going, why not?
That's what the difference in confidence I have from 10 days ago, 12 days ago, is infinite. 12 days ago, I didn't know the bullpen was great, apparently, or wasn't going to let up but a single run in the last 30 innings. 10 days ago, I didn't know Vinny Pasquantino was going to be back in the middle of the order, already with two walks and two hits and an RBI. Right? I didn't know all those things 12 days ago. Now that we know those things, my confidence in the Royals' chances at winning a World Series is at an all-time high. Now, that also risks me getting a tattoo, but... Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, I need a decision. We gave you 24 hours. I need a decision right now, real quick. I gave you an opportunity to renegotiate. For those that don't know, on April 12th, Cody said he would get a tattoo of Vinny's
12th.
Quote, who said, "Who gives a bleep? We're winning games." He would get that tattooed on his body somewhere if the Royals win the World Series. I gave an opportunity. Let's bump it up to just making the World Series, and he can get rid of his strip club bet that he has not paid off for 2 years.
I've decided I'll go to the strip club in the next month.
You're going to Vegas? We're in Vegas?
I don't know if it's in Vegas, but I'll go.
We're going to be out at Circa in 3 weeks.
I'll go in the next... I will go by the end of, I don't know, whatever. A month.
It sounds like you really do not want this tattoo. Like, you want to try to avoid it as
much
as you
can. Drew, I don't have a tattoo. Do you think that, like, but here's the thing. If you tell me the Royals win the World Series, I'll probably feel a lot different about it then.
Okay.
You know? I'll feel good about it then, realistically. I'll be getting ready for a parade.
All right, let's squeeze in one final call real quick. 913-586-7965. Howie, you're listening, and you're on with Cody and Gold.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I think a big factor, I just texted this in to you guys. I think the big factor nobody's talking about is the long break that the Yankees have had between games. I mean, I used to coach here at a college. I've met you guys before.
Yeah.
We used to do that in between breaks. Or we used to have the long breaks, and it would kill us. Our hands would be in cement. We couldn't run. I mean, everything just changes for baseball players after 2 days off. So I think that's a big factor in this whole deal.
Thanks for the call, Howie. Yeah, I mean, I hope, man. That's one thing. In game one, if you can get the Yankees when their bats are not fully rolling.
I appreciate the call. I don't disagree. Cody Decker said the same thing, obviously, to us, and it's hard to not think it plays a factor. But we got such little evidence on these buys. We don't really know yet from a Major League Baseball standpoint statistically.
We are broadcasting here at Community America Credit Union's Red Friday tailgate. It's going on till 1 o'clock. It's the Olathe Branch, 135th in Black Bob. We got the Chiefs cheerleaders. We got Casey Wolf. They're all taking photos. Free lunch to the first 100 people. I think we're getting close to that as well. We got a huge crowd out here. But you know what? Here's the good thing. You got a chance still to win some Chiefs Monday Night Football tickets. You got some Chiefs swag to win as well. Come by, say hello, as so many of you have already done. Up next, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk a little bit more about that wide receiver room. If anybody's buying anything still for the guys that were once the fifth and sixth receivers for the...
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This team.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Oh, yeah, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and we're having a Red Friday tailgate here in Olathe at Community America Credit Union's Red Friday tailgate off of 135th and Black Bob. Come on by, grab some free lunch, take some photos with Chiefs cheerleaders, plus Casey Wolf, who tried to take your job during the break.
He did. He put my headset on.
He was ready.
He doesn't talk. He can't. Take my job.
I don't know. He didn't offer to sing or anything. We would have lost that. We would have definitely lost the singing ability.
Yeah.
At bare minimum, singing would have been out the window.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, about half our listening audience would be like, thank God. It's about time.
You could also score some Chiefs gear from Community America Credit Union's Big ATM. We got a great amount of people out here hanging out on a Friday. It's a gorgeous day in Kansas City. A lot more energy. Not only feeling good about the Chiefs, but everybody feeling great about the Royals, who begin their postseason run tomorrow as well. And they still have an opportunity to win some tickets to that Chiefs-Saints Monday night football game over at the Big ATM.
That's right. If you use it, they've got some gear you can win over there, but also, as Gold mentioned, the Chiefs ticket. So come out and see us. They got food, free food for the first 100 people who come on out and join us at 135th and Black Bob. Great time already. Great crowd already. Give you a chance to just mix and mingle with fellow Chiefs and Royals fans about the upcoming next few days in Kansas City sports-wise.
All right, let's talk about these wide receivers, though, a little bit. We had Joshua Briscoe on discussing Rashee Rice and where things stand with him.
What, you talking about Florio first? Or?
Yeah.
Well, so Mike, the actual situation.
So Mike Florio, who, you know, for years been trying to get Andy Reid to retire, basically, and he's been wrong for multiple years, and Andy, of course, signed an extension and all that. Over at Pro Football Talk, there was a new article today, and it was talking about the Rice situation. And just to sum it up, he was alluding to the open-endedness right now of what the injury is.
Yes.
And he was speculating, although he claims he's heard from sources. Who knows?
Okay. He also said he heard from sources Andy Reid was considering retiring.
I know.
And Andy has directly said from his own voice multiple times that's not a thing. So
he was insinuating that the Chiefs are intentionally leaving it open-ended so that they can try to get with his legal team and speed up the legal process, therefore get things resolved, and that if they rule him out for the year publicly, that the NFL would almost with certainty not suspend him. But if they make it seem like he could come back, then they would suspend him. That's not my words. I'm telling you, that's the report.
God, I can't. I'm
that's
so tired.
The report from Mike.
I'm tired.
From Mike Florio. Okay.
We might have to ban him from being talked about. This might have to be a Justin Ross situation. We might have to owe a dollar to a jar every time we bring up a report from him. Because I don't know, like, he might have the worst chief sources of all time. I mean, I just, like, who is he getting this from? Is the guy, like, making mercury clocks in his basement slowly going insane? Is his guy suffering from Mad Hatter's disease? What's happening with the people he's talking to that the current deep state conspiracy is Rashee Rice, even though he doesn't even have a court date on file, is going to miraculously, in a five-minute window, he's going to find a way to settle his legal case. Then he's going to convince the NFL that he's going to come back so that the NFL will suspend him middle of the season, even though they don't do that very often either. Anyway, just so he can be back for the beginning of the next year? Oh, right. My God. It's just so exhausting. There's just no way it's true. There's just no way that's what they're trying
to
do.
No. I'll tell you, though, in a weird way, I wish it was true, only just because then.
Well, yeah. Honest to God, I kind of wish that is how it would go down. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, from the result I like, but I'm not buying any of that speculation from Mike Florio. I think we know that Rice is getting his knee scoped next week in Dallas, and that will provide some more clarity. I also think it's wrong on the other side to assume that suddenly this is like great news, though, that, oh, he's not going to be gone for much, if not all, of the season. Like, I still think that is 100% in play. It's not normal for it to take this long and for it to not be anything. So just because he was walking in the locker room yesterday with a brace on doesn't mean that it's not a serious knee injury. That's not a sure thing either. So
no.
They have to proceed without him, which is why I want to talk about some individuals who were slated to be the sixth receiver, fifth receceur, Sky Moore, McCole Hardman.
Yeah, they do matter.
I almost feel weird even asking the question. Is there any reason why
this time will be different?
Yeah. That you would somehow buy into the fact that either of those guys are going to contribute? Because I don't think those are the names. I think it's Justin Watson. I think it's Juju Smith-Schuster. And then random player that they trade for, whoever that
might be. Jared Wiley before we get to those
names. Gray.
Noah Gray will have probably a bigger part of the offense. I'm off of those two. I'm off of Sky more specifically. But McCole, they brought him back. They used him in a couple of spots. He had the game-winning touchdown. But it's not like they're all head over heels. McCole Hardman didn't play a single snap week one, okay? He didn't play a wide receiver snap. Sky Moore barely played a wide receiver snap. Those guys weren't on the field to go. Justin Watson was on the field. Juju Smith-Schuster was on the field. Those guys were already playing some snaps for this team. So if you're going to make me guess who has to step up in the absence, because I still think Xavier Worthy stands alone as his own man having to do his own things, and I'm looking for the wide receiver who will stand in for Rashee Rice, and I don't think that that's Xavier Worthy. I think the answer is probably Juju Smith-Schuster. If you're going to make me guess right now, who is the wide receiver they will rely on the most? We clean slated it, Golden. I said, give me the yardage totals from the wide receiver unit and who has the most to the least. I think number one is Xavier Worthy because I think he plays his own role. Number two is Juju Smith-Schuster, and number three is Justin Watson, with Sky Moore and Mecole Hardman picking up 4 and 5.
I think it actually might – I agree with you, except I would flip Juju and Justin Watson. I think.
Okay, you think it might be Watson more than Juju.
I think Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be a key third down guy. It's 3rd and 7. Kelsey's not available, if you will, on that play. And so Juju right at the sticks. You're not getting any yards after the catch. That's why I can't put Juju to. There's no yards after the catch at this point in his career coming, in my opinion. So whereas Justin Watson, there could be. Oh, and he's more of a deep threat. There's got to be somebody else. As Danon Hughes joined us yesterday, he said, it can't just be Worthy to stretch the field. Now, maybe you think that's Mecole Hardman, perhaps. But I think Justin Watson, remember, he did that. A year ago.
He still can't do that. He's good at 20-plus
yards. So I would, if we're just going yardage totals only, which is not the whole story, but if we're just going off of that.
It's an easy way to rank.
No, I hear you. I'm with you. Worthy would be 1, Watson 2, Juju 3, Hardman 4, and then, you know, Sky Moore or, you know, until we know who they trade for, if they trade for somebody.
Yeah, I mean, we're close, but I still think Mecole and Sky Moore don't matter to this offense. I'd still be stunned if the rest of the way either of them had 300 yards receiving, 250 yards receiving. I mean, they've barely had that. Like, Mecole had that in his early part of his career, but they don't use him the same way they did when he was here in Kansas City before he went to New York and then eventually came back. Now, you'd think it still should be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Productive Mecole Hardman should be in there somewhere. So I don't think that they'll not use him. And maybe now, because Xavier Worthy is even more important to this offense, maybe those end arounds start going back to Mecole Hardman so that you can have Xavier Worthy doing other things, doing other important things, and you save that bullet in the chamber until it actually matters, you know? And so it's a fascinating thing because the truth is, and I saw the most recent report, Albert Breer this morning said they wanted to talk about it in postgame last night on Amazon but didn't, that they're going to scope Rashee Rice's knee.
Yes.
They want to see what his PCL and his MC or his PCL and his ACL look like. They're worried about both, but that they don't have the firm answer yet. But the truth is, if they're telling you they're worried about both, that means they still think there's a pretty good chance both, one, either are torn. Now, if it turns out it's just the PCL and not the ACL, he can come back this year late in the season, most likely. But if it's anything outside of that, well, then the guys we just talked about are the guys they're going to rely on anyway. The other truth is you and I both know that it means a healthier dose of Travis Kelce and a healthier dose of Noah Gray. And now Kareem Hunt was a limited participant in practice
that's one
yesterday.
That's one to watch.
Carson Seal might get another crack. They're just kind of in – they're in no man's land offensively. They don't know what they are, and they're not going to know what they are for a month.
Yeah, it's not a great spot for the offense, but I think we if we didn't experience last year, then – I would be way more concerned.
Sure.
The same way we were very concerned last year. We saw this play out. I just kind of view it as it's going to be much like a year ago where we're going to be really frustrated at times throughout a football game about the offense not moving the ball. But this defense, let's not forget, this defense, just like a year ago, is one of the top 5 defenses in football. Steve Spagnuolo has this defense playing at an extremely high level. They're going to have to carry the team again. And then your hope is by the time you get to late in the year or the postseason again, that all of a sudden that comes back around. But this defense right now is playing at such a level where you can win games clearly. They're undefeated for a reason because the reason is this defense.
The other part about the way the offense works is, and I think that, again, last year gives me this confidence, is even if it is a slog, even if it looks and feels identical to 2023 and that's how it feels again, in the postseason, I think you should probably come to accept that whatever they are offensively, whatever Patrick Mahomes is, they're 15% better. I mean, he was great in the postseason last year. Wide receivers didn't change gold. Offensive line didn't change. Play callers didn't change. Everything was exactly the same. What was different? Patrick Mahomes was better. Way better. And so, yeah, I mean, that's some portion of the math here is that I know if they can just keep writing this out. And the other thing is, like, if they keep scraping out wins, at some point they're going to give themselves a real cushion. like the Bills and the Ravens play, you know, like these teams like are starting to play, like, or sorry, Cincy and the Ravens play each other again this weekend. The Bills take on the Texans. Those are two teams who'd be fighting for the one seed with you. You might actually start getting some separation if you find a way to win hideous games over the next few weeks. Just scratch out, scratch and survive. Play some gross ones, right? But win?
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. Yeah. I mean, that's why when we talk on the betting end, you know, and on Monday we'll do our game predictions and everything and all that, it's tough to factor in, you know, covering 6-point spread. Last week they covered, last week, depending on the number you got, they won by 7, right? So they're, and they were down 10-0. That was against a bad Chargers team injury-wise. This is a step up on Monday. The only injury I've seen from the Saints, really, is Taysom Hill, who, make all the jokes you want, he is a weapon for them.
Oh, they use him. You know, they're actually better using him now than they were under Sean Payton.
He's a weapon in the red
zone.
He's
broken ribs, right?
Yeah, so he's not playing. I mean,
I don't think so.
I don't know how are you playing football.
Flatjack, and we've seen people do it before.
At a tight end?
Man, I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
Taysom Hill definitely seems like just, if you put football player in the dictionary, it's kind of Taysom Hill right now, isn't it? He's just the ultimate, that's a football guy. So, like, if there was a player who's going to play with some broken ribs, and I haven't looked to see if he's been declared out or not, it would be Taysom Hill.
Someone says, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour today for the fan club, I hope you're not planning on having that today. They'll call the police for public intoxication.
I didn't bring anything today. Nope. I figured we were supposed to do.
We are on remote
today. Public.
That's
you know.
Right. There's no alcoholic beverages in the 1 o'clock hour on a Friday like normal. Not today. We're out at Community America Credit Union, the Olathe branch, for their Red Friday tailgate. We've got a great crowd out here. Casey Wolf, Chiefs cheerleaders getting set. They got a great food truck, too. We have to go snag some food at some point. Everybody says yes. The gentleman just said yes, it is. Some great food over there.
Yeah,
some cookies as well. A big ATM, a chance to win some swag. And I know, I think they still have at least one pair that they're giving away for Monday Night Football, Chiefs Saints. So it is a great time to come out here and just interact, you know, interact with everybody's in a great mood right now with the Chiefs.
It's a Friday and big important games get to continue to be played starting tomorrow, obviously with the Royals and the ALDS, and then Chiefs and Royals coming up on Monday. I really can't wait. I hope to see, like, this is like the time of year where I'm like, I'm always interested to see which Chiefs players end up at which Royals games. Obviously,
Mahomes will be there Wednesday. I have no doubt.
100%. It's a bye week.
Yeah.
It's a home game. Like, I got to assume there's going to be, like, a suite with, like, 8. MJ, here's my guess. I think there will officially be 6 Royals players Chiefs players at the game there to see MJ and Bobby and the whole crew. Patrick Mahomes, I think, will be there.
Yep.
I think Travis Kelce will be there. His car show is on Saturday. Reports are Jason's staying in. He's going to be in town
maybe
a day
he's flying
early for
to New
that.
York to see Taylor.
There's a report Taylor might be at his big car show on Saturday as well.
So if they're
already in town, stick around for the game on Wednesday. So I'm saying Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes for sure. And then it's always like the guys you don't expect. Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey end up at every big event. So I'll count on the two of them. And then it's like Matt Araiza. It's always like the guys you don't expect. Matt Araiza and some other guy. But I think they'll be there. I think they'll be at the game on Wednesday, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's right. Now, let's talk more about the defense. If there's one particular area, I know you brought this up a week or so ago, and one player that you're concerned not having out there, that's Mike Dana. He's still dealing with a little bit of a quad injury.
Yeah.
Felix, I know we've discussed him a ton. I thought, considering the matchup that he went up against a bunch of backup left tackles, he did what you should do at the NFL level against backup left and right tackles. But that's a step forward. I know we can say we're babying him, but yeah, kind of. Yeah,
I think he, so.
Kind of.
So, look, the pass rush outside of Chris Jones has not been good. And I know it doesn't seem that way because Chris Jones has been a one-man wrecking crew, an unstoppable force of nature, determined to ruin lives. But outside of that, the pass rush hasn't been good. This is not an FAU conversation. This is across the board. I think Turks had a slightly better than average year. Karloftis has been fine. But they're not getting as much pressure. I'll tell you, last week, when it was one team without both their left and right tackle and one team who had all 5, looked the opposite for a huge chunk of that game. It looked like one team wasn't getting enough pressure on Justin Herbert for 2.5-3 quarters, and the other team looked like they had offensive line problems in the Chiefs, even though they had their starting 5. So, yeah, I am a little bit worried about the pass rush. But not for, like, the season-long thing. I think it hurts him in the short term, but eventually I think Dan will get healthy, and in a minute he will come back. And that might be the solution to all their problems. I think the only thing we learned is that Mike Dana on one hurt leg and Felix and Udike Uzama is just existing aren't enough to fill in the back end of your pass rush without more help. And the help's coming. Healthy Dana and Charles Omenihu. Felix is a rotational guy I'm fine with.
Reminder, coming up in the noon hour today, we'll get right back into the Royals while some working some all 32. We're in the 1 o'clock hour today, expected to have Joel Goldberg.
It's all Royals.
Yeah, joining us for a fan club. It'll be a little more of just a 1 o'clock
sober fan club
hour of Royals discussion.
Yes.
More than anything else with Joel Goldberg out here at Community America Credit Union, which will be good. It's been a bit since we've had Joel on the show. I do want to point out one thing, though. We mentioned it in passing related to the bet. One person's very upset with me on the text line for trying to push you to actually follow through with your strip club bet. They said, how dare
oh,
you? Cody's a married man. I go, he's the one that made the bet. You're the one that made the bet, man.
I so know. I was pressured into it because when you guys found out I hadn't been, but also, like,
but I also,
I didn't have to make the bet.
You didn't. I bring it up again only because, reminder, we are going to be out in Las Vegas coming up later on this month out at Circa Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, the 143-foot screen, poolside, six pools, the largest sports book in the world, as the Chiefs get set to take on the Raiders. We'll be broadcasting live on that Thursday and Friday. We've got a happy hour party going on that Friday night. And if you are planning on being out there, one, you should stay at Circa. But if you're just going to be there, you can hit me up on social media or Cody. We've got a link for you to actually RSVP for the party. You know why you should RSVP? That guarantees you a free cocktail. It gets you entered at that point in time to win tickets to game day. It gets you entered to maybe win a day bed at a stadium swim.
Ooh, man, that's a spot,
so,
too.
Yeah, if you're going to be out there, you should make sure you go through the RSVP process for that party on Friday night.
Yeah, if you're out there, you're planning on being out there, you already have your hotel booked, definitely register, as Gold said, because it's going to be a great time. We'll be broadcasting from Stadium Swim Thursday and Friday. And then, yeah, our party at Overhang Bar very well could be game one of the World Series.
It could.
We could turn that into a World Series party in a hurry. World Series party in Vegas. Drinks, party,
oh,
fun.
Man.
Oh, man, that just sounds like an awesome time. And it would be a road World Series game.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about
it. All the NL teams already have better records. You don't have to worry about it being at Kauffman Stadium. Perfect. Have your little trip in Vegas, come back, and then the Royals in the World Series. Dream scenario.
Someone said we should just get Antonio Pierce to help fulfill your bet, too.
Man, did you see that? Coach, yeah. Did you see the report
Raiders
on that?
Yeah, from his days at Arizona State, he was with Herm Edwards.
Well, they were running a loose ship there,
he was
huh?
an assistant coach. And what did Antonio Pierce get? Is it a four-year?
Eight-year
show cause for recruiting violations. He doesn't care anymore. He's in the NFL, just like Harbaugh went back to the NFL.
Free food, gentlemen's club visits to the parents of recruits, yeah.
Well, did they land some recruits because of it?
I don't know, because they weren't very good. So,
but that might have been a coaching problem, not a recruiting issue.
That was one of those things where if the parents were smart, we're going to have a good time, and then we're going to go somewhere else because these guys are going to get in trouble.
Yeah, Drew, like the show cause is a waste of time, though, when Harbaugh can just leave, Pierce can leave, Herm Edwards left, and he got penalized. Like, it doesn't matter. Those guys don't care.
There's no real penalty.
Retired. Antonio Pierce is not going back to college, and Harbaugh is in the NFL now.
You're suggesting, though, that Antonio Pierce knows a couple spots probably in Vegas.
But what does that say? I got to be honest, though. What does that say about your guy? What does that say about the head coach, the interim guy you decided to continue to hire?
That he was
when
doing
you hear
what
all
a lot of
those
coaches do. He got caught. That's what it tells
me. Well, don't
me.
Get caught, though.
To me, it's like he got
I think
caught.
It looks stupid when you get caught sometimes. You look dumb.
Sure.
Because nobody's getting caught.
But I don't think Antonio Pierce is the only college assistant coach that may have skirted the rules when it comes to recruiting. He just got caught.
I do think it is worse that not only did he get caught, but they got caught while sucking. They weren't good.
So, yeah, so you're right. If you're going to cheat, be good and cheat.
It's not like they all of a sudden were good.
I 100% agree.
It's not like Arizona State bagged like the top 10 recruiting class, and they're like, huh, I wonder what's going on here. They were not good, and they got caught. That made
Jayden
it worse.
Jayden Daniels, as the text line points out, they did get him out there. Now he transferred to
correct.
LSU, but Jayden Daniels was the quarterback at Arizona
point.
State for a little while.
Damn, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was Herm Edwards that got him there.
He was really good at Arizona
His
State,
His parents
too,
must have had an awesome time in Arizona, you know? They must have had a great time.
Yeah, I bet.
When they were out there.
I bet they had
Follow-up
a
Follow-up question. How great of a time did your parents have in Arizona for a weekend? Oh, that
in
absolutely
Tempe.
Goes into at least part of it. So, man, what an absolutely fun time. Oh, boy. So silly. Either way, we're out here for – we don't have to keep talking about that. We're out here for Community America. We're going to talk to Royals in just a minute. When you look at what Monday night will be like, and I know we're going to talk about it more on Monday. Are there Chiefs, like, I guess, left in this city? Are there people who are just Chiefs fans or just Royals fans? Like, or are we married to both? I don't know how you're just one, right? Because I'm always curious what the dynamic is of the people who go to Arrowhead on Monday knowing that they're missing game two of the ALDS, but at the same time, like, I mean, you got tickets to Arrowhead. You got tickets to Monday Night Football, right? You're kind of stuck in no man's land almost, you know?
If you have lived in this city, you know, for five or more years, I would argue, I don't know how you could, one, not be a Chiefs fan as well as a Royals, or vice versa. Like, I just don't know how it's possible, especially on the Chiefs side. If you moved here 5 years ago, unless you were just a diehard, you know, diehard fan of another team in the division, I don't know how you... You probably are both. That's the only scenario. If you grew up here, I mean, come on now. If you grew up here, how could you not be both?
Like, I know there are people who, like, grew up Yankees fans and Chiefs fans because the Royals were no good. Now you got to forbid that. Just give up.
Well, like Vern. Vern's going to join us at 12:30 today. And, you know, Vern brought up, I think it was yesterday on the Royals special that he was doing. He's like, you know, he grew up a Lions fan, but he's been here for, what, 13 years or something now. And he's like, he watched the Lions in the postseason, he said. And he's like, he didn't really feel the...
He didn't feel the same way he used to.
The butterflies were for the Chiefs game, not the Lions game.
But that feels right. By the way, a little update over at Chiefs practice. Mecole Hardman, the only player on the injured list who will not practice today. So maybe no Mecole Hardman for the game on Monday against the Chiefs as well. Now, it's still, it feels like Friday, but it's technically Thursday. So if he practices tomorrow, that would be the case. Dave Tobe mentioned Nico Remigio or Washington as possible guys who could get the call-up as returners in case Mecole Hardman couldn't play.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending, and then we'll get right back into the Royals and Yankees game one tomorrow night right here on 96.5 The Fan.